Quarter past 12 right now, and time to welcome back to the programme our Hong Kong visa geezer with an A, look him up, Steve Barnes. How are you?
Hi, Phil. Good afternoon to you.
Yeah, lovely to have you back. We have our sort of once every couple of months visits. If you've got any questions for Steve about your visa status, anything at all, and if you think it's really silly, drop us a line, morningbrew@rthk.hk. What's new?
Thinking about this on the taxi on the way, and we've had a lot of inquiries recently about people seeking extended visitor visas for their family members, particularly their elderly parents. Who, if you're not a permanent resident of Hong Kong, if you don't have the right to land or you don't have unconditional stay, then the only dependents that you can apply for dependent visas for is your spouse, legal spouse, and unmarried children under the age of 18.
Right.
But if you've got, for example, an employment visa, you've been here 3.5 years.
And you want mum to come over.
And you want mum to come over, and you're from a country that, say, a 14-day visitor national, and you only get 14 days each time that you arrive. The question's begged as to what opportunities there are for extended visitor visas for those family members. So they can't actually take up residence in Hong Kong, but they don't have to worry too much about coming and going every 2 weeks because they want to, you know, be with their child in this.
What do you mean by extended, typically?
Well, okay, I mean, the normal length of a visitor visa on arrival at the airport, it depends on your nationality. Filipinos, for example, get 2 weeks. Indian nationals get 2 weeks. Most European and North American states get 90 days. Brits get 180 days.
Right.
So if you've got a situation where these family members of those nationals are wanting to come to Hong Kong to see, you know, their family here, it's not such a big problem for them because they get such a reasonable length of stay as a visitor at the airport. But if you're from, say, the Philippines with a 2 week visitor national, then when you make your application for a visa before you arrive, instead of just relying on what's going on at the airport, then normally you'll get what you ask for up to an absolute maximum of 3 months, depending on your circumstances.
What do you mean, what's going on at the airport?
When you arrive at the airport, certain nationalities are granted visas upon arrival to a maximum limit of stay. Say, for example, 2 weeks if you're Filipino. But if you've got a situation where you apply for a visa in advance of arriving, it's a process that takes 4 to 6 weeks, tell your story to the immigration department about why you want to come for a prolonged basis. Reveal everything that's going on in your life that's bringing you to Hong Kong to spend time with your family members. And then in those situations, the immigration department will usually give you up to 3 months period of stay.
It works, Steve, but it still sounds rather unfair. Am I taking this the wrong way?
No, it's just that, you know, the immigration department is kind of making it easy for people to arrive as visitors without a visa. But if you want to stay for a longer period of time, then you've got to reveal the entire rationale for you wanting such a longer period of time through a formal application.
Right.
And then allow the department to grant a visa on, in this case, a 3 month basis.
Now, supposing you have somebody coming from a country that isn't on some kind of, like, slightly dodgy list, and they want to renew that. Is that doable? What we used to call a visa run?
Okay, so the question is, can you go down to the immigration department and make an application to extend your visa? The answer is yes. You can usually do it once without any difficulties. The second time, the immigration department are probably going to be asking for you to nominate a date for when you believe that your stay is going to terminate. And then they may give you that second extension subject to you leaving on that nominated date, but absolute maximum, so two times at it. Otherwise, you're across the border. And
kind of makes you think that for things like an elderly relative or any kind of relative coming to stay with you, you sort of think there should be something.
If you're resident here unconditionally, then you can sponsor your elderly parents to get dependent visas. But if you do have conditions attached to your period of stay, that is, you haven't become a permanent resident yet, or you haven't got unconditional stay, you haven't got the right to land, you're not allowed to sponsor those elderly parents. So what you have to do is to make an application on special circumstances for a much longer period of stay. Can you, for example, get 6 months? Can you try and push it for 12 months? They'll look at everything, yeah. And you just have to tell your story, and if it stacks up and the immigration department believe that there's no risks in terms of the parties involved, then they should come to the party. Okay. And if there's a last remaining relative situation in place, then you can expect the immigration department to look quite sympathetically.
They're okay about it, are they?
Yeah.
All right. I've just got your website up in front of me, Hong Kong Visa Geezer, and the top one is quite, it's very sad if you're involved in it. It says, what are your visa options if your marriage in Hong Kong has irrevocably broken down?
You'd be amazed at how many people search our websites for information on what the visa situation situation is now that their relationship has broken down and they believe that their eligibility to continue the dependent visa status has basically been pulled from under their feet.
Yeah.
It's a huge problem, actually.
What usually happens?
Well, effectively, you know, the question is begged as to what your continuing rationale for remaining in Hong Kong is now that, you know, you've separated from your dependent visa sponsoring partner. And usually
has... Well, look, if the marriage is broken down, there's probably a very good reason for you wanting to stay in Hong Kong.
Well, I don't really think of it that way. I actually feel that I take your, I take your point. I take your point, yeah. No, effectively, what tends to happen is that the spouse let's say the dependent visa holding spouse has been working and she's or he's in a position to then go to his or her employer and say, look, you know, I'm not going to be able to stay after my dependent visa is expiring, so what can we do to get an employment visa to allow me to adjust my status? And another in many other instances that we've seen down the years, the dependent visa has actually got a small business, the dependent visa holder's got a small business ongoing.
I'll tell you what I've heard of in the past, and I wonder what the reason is for this. Often somebody will be here and they approach a company they might be working for or want to work for, and they say, well, look, you want to hire me, can you do my visa? And they often say no. Now, what happens, what's the problem with a small company doing a visa for somebody?
In many instances, there isn't such a problem at all, but it's just a question of perception. You know, there's a lot of visa sort of gossip and a lot of rumours that sort of go around the expatriate community in Hong Kong as to how the immigration department actually works. And most small employers think that getting...
they're on some list or something.
There's that concern, which is unfounded in actual fact. But there's also this idea that because you're relatively small, or you're particularly if you're new, by default, as you come out of the starting traps, as it were, the immigration department are going to say no to such an entity sponsoring an employment visa for a foreign national in those circumstances.
I just get the impression it's very often because they can't be bothered and they don't want that responsibility.
That's true, and many employers are kind of doing themselves a big disservice by not actually understanding what's required to get an employment visa.
They don't get penalised or something, do they?
No, but they don't seem to sort of appreciate that it's a two-party project, an employment visa application. You've got both the employee who's got to make his contribution to the application, the employer has got to make his contribution through provision of sorting documentation or financial information, kind of what's going on in the business.
A lot of hassle, basically.
Well, no, it's documentation at the end of the day, and you know, it's usually kind of the kind of stuff that you can put your hands on quite quickly and easily, and it's not such a big deal, all told, truth be known.
You must have gone over and over this one, but just give me a what if. What would be the pros and cons if they did make employment visas, literally you can work where you like, you're allowed to work? What would be the downside and the upside of that, other than job-specific?
Downside to the department or downside to the person that's...
Just in general, anything, because, you know, it's a big no-no. Your visa is your job.
Well, we'd be a lot busier than we are, so that's a big downside. Well, again, you see, the issue is that because the way that immigration policy is structured and the way it's implemented, you know, you get a particular visa type to do a particular activity, and if it's in the context of employment, you have to show that you have the skills and you've got the experience and the knowledge to do that particular work, and the employer has to justify that they're in all the circumstances engaged in employing that particular individual. So because you've got a period of temporary residence for the first 7 years of your life where conditions are always attached to your period of stay, and then after 7 years you move into the right of abode land where you're basically a free agent.
Yeah.
The only way that the immigration department can control those first 7 years is to make employment visas specific to particular jobs.
Yeah, I see that.
And then make the application predicated on those circumstances
for
a particular case.
Do you reckon that thing about you can do the job better than somebody, is that a bit old-fashioned or is that a necessary thing?
Oh, yeah, I mean, there has to be some means of measuring, you know, drawing a sort of
how long is a piece of string?
You know, that's my favourite saying, actually, in the context of another visa type that we do, which is the application for the business investment visa. But you're right. You know, you've got to show that you're a professional. You've got to show, in principle, that, you know, you've got a good education, or if you don't have a formal education, then you've got, you know, a good period of time spent providing services in a managerial or supervisory capacity in a particular expert niche. That will dispense with the idea of
they do it all over the world. I mean, you try getting one in Australia, they ask you all sorts of questions, don't they?
Much more legalistic and much more bureaucratic. Hong Kong's a lot more flexible.
All right, then, I've got an email for you. I'm going to read out an email here from one of our listeners, Steve, and he says, I went through this experience just a few weeks ago while having my niece here from the Philippines. While we did not have time to apply for an extended visa prior to arrival, we tried to ask for an additional week while she was here. This was rejected by the immigration department on the grounds, thank you, that there was no emergency to grant an extension. Is this normal? Does one really need to have extenuating circumstances to have an extension granted?
You need to have a good story. That's the bottom line. And
that's a pretty good story.
That's right, but I'm not sure how well he articulated it. But I think they've been very hard against him in that situation. I'll be very frank. They've been very hard.
See, this is all well and good until it gets highlighted that they're being unfair to people from the Philippines.
I think it's a big conclusion to draw that they're being fair to people from the Philippines. Just
well, I wouldn't be the first person
instance.
To say it.
No, that's true. But we have instances where Filipinos or any nationalities are not particularly prejudiced. It's just that I can tell you, if you go down to the fifth floor of the immigration department, you try to get an extension to your visitor visa.
Yeah.
Those guys are tough. They're absolutely tough. You know, they're facing people day in, day out, all with their stories. And unless you've got a really good story, and your ducks lined up in a row, and you can tell your story with really good, solid supporting documentation, they've got no incentive to really, really help you.
Fair play, but a lot of, action and reaction. Does that mean that we still do have a big problem with overstayers here?
That's an interesting question, actually, Phil. I'm not sure if it's a huge problem. Certainly in the foreign national community, there might be in mainland Chinese that have come and sort of done their thing and have disappeared sort of off the radar. But I would say in the main, looking at the number of inquiries that we get from our network and from our website and from people that just ask us as to what the situation is now that they found themselves inadvertently as overstayers, I don't think it's such a huge problem. I think people do take the fact that date in their passport is sacrosanct in terms of needing to be satisfied.
Well, also we have accidental overstayers.
Yeah. And
we've all done things like that.
Yeah. If you spend a day or two over, then, they'll sort of help you out without too much of a fuss. But if you're a week or two over, you're going to have a lot of explaining to do.
All right, then. Just, if you wouldn't mind, wrapping up the question I asked you earlier on, just so that if anybody is in that situation, your question on your website, what are your visa options if your marriage in Hong Kong was busted up? Just give me a clear one on that.
If you're working for somebody else, ask them to sponsor your employment visa.
If not?
If not, it's about your rationale. If you've got your own business, apply to get a business investment visa.
And
then if you're a rocket scientist, apply for a quality migrant admission scheme visa.
If you were a rocket scientist, you wouldn't have married her in the first place.
Possibly.
Anyway, check out Steve's stuff online. It's Hong Kong Visa Geezer with an A.com. Stephen, it's always a pleasure. Thanks so much for coming to visit.